People sometimes ask me if I became the Ron Van Dam Show announcer because I love what Ron does and I love his comedy. Well, no. It's because Ron broke me out of a Tijuana prison back in 82 and smuggled me across the border in a suitcase in the trunk of a Yugo. And I still owe him for that. Muchas gracias, mi amigo. You're listening to the Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
What's your point?
Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
What's your point? What are you trying to say? What do you mean by that? Hey, thanks for stopping by. It is the Ron Van Dam Show. Yes, it is. Don't argue with me. I'm not in the mood. Sit back, relax, I'll take it from here. We're going to have a good time. Maybe, maybe not, I don't know. Oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah. I don't know why I'm saying that. Welcome to the show. How are you? Good to be with you today. Oh, you're looking especially strange today. By the way, your shoes are untied. Made you look. So childish, isn't it? Isn't that childish? So childish. Anyway, remember the days when you would see somebody walking down the street who you know, and you would walk up to that person on purpose in order to create a social situation? And you would walk up to the person and say, "Hi, how are you? How you doing?" And they would respond, "Hey, I'm doing good. How are you?" "I'm good." And then you'd walk away and that would be the end of it. That's good social interaction. Short, sweet, to the point. Who cares, right? That's good. That's what we're about. But that's changed. Now when you walk up to a person and you say, "Hey, how are you? How you doing?" The response is, I'm still alive. Oh my God, what happened? What happened to being comfortable and just saying the right words just to get the damn interaction over with? How are you? I'm fine. How are you? I'm good. Okay, take care. That was fun. Bye. And then you'd be done. You can go home and have a sandwich or something. You know, this is fine. Everything's good. But not anymore. Now, if you ask somebody how they are, they will go into an explanation as to how things aren't that good with me, but why complain? Who's going to listen? And you're right, I'm not going to listen. But it does indicate that people are not good right now. And I guess it's the atmosphere. You know, being a talk show host for so many freaking decades, more than I'd like to count sometimes, it's part of my job, really, to take the temperature of the country. That's correct. The country has a temperature. I have a thermometer that checks the temperature of the country. I stick it up the country's ass, and I read the temperature of the country, and it's not good. It's not good. People are just bombarded by crap left and right. It's like instead of rain outside, it's crapping outside. It's like that. Congress can't get along. They can't do anything. Both sides hate each other. You're demonized because you worked with the other side. So government is in the crapper. Got a guy running for president that wants to destroy everything in his path. It's his retribution tour. That's fun, right? That's productive. Calls everybody idiots and thinks they should be assassinated or hung or something like that. And then there's society as a whole. with the social media crap and the bullying and the, oh my God. You know, and the interest rates going up, you know, and all that inflation. By the way, see, you don't know this, as much as you can't afford anything, people in other countries can't afford anything even worse than we can't afford anything. Our economy is actually great in comparison to everybody else's. Doesn't make it acceptable, but I'm just saying. But I know you can't afford a loaf of bread. I get it. I understand that. I pay for eggs, too. I remember going to the supermarket, and eggs were like $1.99 a carton or something. Now they're low, like $4 or $5. I get it. Yeah. So, yeah, people aren't happy. They're not happy. We came out of a pandemic. I didn't start this. Nobody here started the pandemic thing. That's a China deal. You know what I'm saying? It's bad enough their merchandise is cheap, but it doesn't work even if you buy it. So I don't understand what's going on with that. But yeah, that was a China thing. And then we didn't know what was going. The people were dying all over the place. We didn't know how to stop this thing. We had to do something quickly before the population dropped off, and people were dying. Don't kid yourself. So we did the best we could with the information we had. So, yeah, that was horrible. I remember that. That was awful. You remember that. We all lived through that, didn't we? And unless you didn't live through it, and, you know, a lot of people lost their parents, grandparents, etc. That was a little bit weird. And then we had to quarantine and stay away from other people, which I loved. But anyway, so yeah, you know, and then there was, remember that embargo there where all the goods were just sitting in the port and we couldn't get any merchandise, we couldn't buy anything, there was nothing available, we were out of baby formula. I mean, it was exhausting. And then you have natural disasters all of a sudden because no one's doing anything about the preservation of the globe. I said, Oh, I guess we should do something. No, that's in the future. I won't even be here. I'll be dead, so whatever. Come on, man. Now that the storms are more intense. Every time there's a storm, there's a declaration of emergency, and people have everything they have totally destroyed. I mean, things are not... I understand. Why, when you walk up to somebody and say, "Hey, how you doing?" The response is no longer, "Hey, good, how are you?" It's no. Things are a little more complicated than that. And social media, oh, God. Elon Musk, the hell are you doing, man? Why are the people that are most successful and powerful, why are they all crazy? They're like crazy dangerous. Why do we idolize people? Why do we idolize people that are obvious assholes, and we find that to be one of their strongest characteristics? Why? We're all confused is what it is. Did an interview recently, I don't remember if I released it yet or not. Some psychologist said that 75% of the population, both kids and adults, everybody who has a heartbeat, has anxiety attacks, panic attacks. Whoa. And it's not that, it's just the way things are, because it's very stressful to live these days. All the news, all the bad news is bombarded upon us 24/7. We're only people with little brains. Some people even littler and more brainless than you. I mean, you can only take so much. You can only take so much bombardment of negative stuff. I used to go to a woman named Dorinda. She might even be listening to the show. And she was a Reiki master. No, in the fall, she was not the best person to rake leaves. That's not what that means. Reiki is a form of meditation, relaxation, that kind of thing. And what I would do is lie on this table, and she would place her hands upon me and above me and extract the negative energy out of my body, because I am constantly bombarded by negative energy, and most of it is from you. Negative energy. And when your body is just putting up with all this negativity from everywhere, the idea was that she would draw this out, physically draw it out with her hand and toss it away and fill my body with hope and positivity through the various chakras. I still don't know what that means, but it was okay. And when the 1 hour session was over, not only was my wallet a little thinner, which, you know, like it's everything. Some people have to earn livings, I get it. But I felt like totally cleansed. It was like a mental cleansing and a physical cleansing. It was wonderful. And I would go to this like once a month. And at times it was once a week. And I felt great. It was removing the negative energy of which I am bombarded on a regular, daily, minute-by-minute basis. And most of us are. But stress seems to be a little harder to deal with than it used to be, because there seems to be so much of it from so many different angles. So I was into the Reiki thing. And people say to me, Ron, do you really believe that a person can pull negative energy out of your body in a session while you're lying on a table? And my answer always was, yes and no. All I know is that when that session was over, I felt great for a good period of time. So whether it was real or fake or love or not, I don't know. But it worked. And I think we're there now, where I don't really care how that happened. All I know is that made me feel good. Here's what you must do, ladies and gentlemen of the jury. And I am not a psychologist. I am not a doctor, although I have played one on TV many, many times, and I'm rather good at it. Here's my suggestion to you. Find something that you love to do that really makes you relaxed and happy, that takes the pressures of the world out of your body for at least that period of time. Whether it be playing golf, pickleball, reading, meditating, watching a television show that just takes you away from things. It's okay. That's all right. Or maybe a hobby that you have, painting, playing music, whatever, taking a long walk if that refreshes you, spending time with your dog if you have one, whatever it may be, sex, maybe it's having sex with a partner or yourself, I don't care, whatever it may be, as long as it doesn't harm anybody, and it goes in the direction of peaceful, do it. And do it when you want to and when you need to. Because you have to have something like that. And you always should, whether it's good times or bad times. You should know yourself by now. Do you know yourself? Let me introduce yourself to yourself. Yourself, this is you. Hi, yourself, how are you? You know how it is. Oh, no, here we go. And you can't rely on other people. I've got to tell you that. I learned that when I was like, when I was a fetus, I learned that. I mean, my mother kept me in the womb. She really did. I was in her womb and she took care of me. And so when we come out into this life, we always think that we're going to be taken care of, because we were. It's a natural thing. And then as you get older, you realize it's you, buddy. It's you and yourself. It's me, myself, and I. And I can mix with the other human beings on the planet. But in the long run, you better be comfortable with yourself. And if you sit down in a rocking chair and you start analyzing yourself and how can I be a good person for my own benefit, you'll be amazed how quickly your attitude can change into a positive light as opposed to being drowned in this negativity that's constantly being bombarded, sometimes by your own family. Everybody's calling you with their problems, and oh, I'm not tired, and I hate this, and I hate that, I hate my job, I hate my spouse, I'm had to them, they constantly call me, whatever, it's your deal, man, you can do what you want about it. But here's the bottom line that will change society someday, and I hope it happens soon. I just want everybody to, like, just respect each other. Just respect the other person. Don't try to destroy them. This isn't life is not a mission of destruction for your own benefit. Those are the power-hungry assholes, and I know some of them very well. It's not what it's about. If you want to be happy, let it go. Let it go. Don't be a part of that anger generation, the destruction generation. Don't do that. It doesn't get them anywhere. It doesn't get you anywhere. And it makes life one of those things where, hey, how you doing? Not too great. Change it. Next time someone comes up to you and says, hey, how you doing? Respond in a phony manner and say, things are great. Beautiful day, isn't it? Yeah. It's phony, but it works. I tell this story every once in a while because I'm getting cathartic about it. I was walking down the street. I was in New York. I go to Manhattan every once in a while because it's amazing how millions of people can cross your path and you can still be as lonely as a prune. I don't know why I use that analogy. Prunes are not necessarily lonely. They're just wrinkled. And actually, in the can, you're amongst other prunes. So forget that analogy. Anyway, I'm walking down the street and I'm feeling okay. Not great, you know, and in the opposite direction comes this very attractive woman, very well dressed. So I know that she's like, she's confident with herself. She gets it. She gets it because she's well dressed. She gets it. She's got a purpose. She's got a personality. She knows herself. That's immediately obvious. And she's walking in one direction and I'm walking in the other. And we get closer to each other. She's going in the opposite direction. And as she's about like 3 feet away, I glance at her. And she glances at me right back with a smile. She smiles at me. Didn't say a word. Didn't stop. But she smiled at me. And her happiness immediately was injected into me. Immediately. And I smiled back. And she continued past me and I continued past her. I've never seen her since. I don't know who she was. But for a long time on that fateful day, I felt good. It's just a good feeling. It commandeered my entire day. Her smile at me and my return smile to her. That was a connection without any type of interaction other than a passing smile. so freaking powerful. It was unbelievable. All right. I have a guest coming up momentarily, but first, this word from our commercial sponsor. Someone's got to pay for this. Obviously, you have no interest in this whatsoever as far as that's concerned. But, hey, you know, what are you going to do?
First, they put jalapenos on your hamburger, but that wasn't hot enough. Then came habaneros, but still, that wasn't hot enough. Next came the ghost pepper, and still, that was not hot enough for you. Well, buckle up, tough guy, because Burger Guy thinks you're not man enough to handle the heat of our new sweet flaming mother of heaven. What the f*** did you assholes do to my hamburger burger? Featuring two of Burger Guy's signature paper-thin patties topped with an experimental hot sauce made from a concentrated hot pepper extract that has only been approved for military use by North Korea. This burger will burn a hole through every inch of your intestines and then slap your mama on its way out for good measure. This burger is so hot they wouldn't let us test it on prisoners. Death row prisoners. But for a limited time, you can try your luck at your local Burger Guy. If you're not a complete pussy.
All purchases of the sweet flaming mother of heaven, what the f*** did you assholes do to my hamburger burger, must be pre-approved by a certified attorney at law with proper notification of next of kin. Sweet flaming mother of heaven, what the f*** did you assholes do to my hamburger burger must not be consumed within 500 yards of schools or within 1,000 yards of open flame. All Burger Guy franchisees reserve the right to ignore cries for mercy or requests for immediate medical attention.
Anand Varma joins us now. A fascinating book that I have in front of me called Invisible Wonders, Photographs of the Hidden World. Where did this concept come from, Anand?
Well, you know, throughout my career, I have been using a camera to try to see and capture what my eyes can't see. And so I've worked on macro photography, I've worked on high-speed photography, mm-hmm. and I realized all of these concepts kind of come together in a single idea of invisible wonders. And so this is sort of encapsulates all the work I've done in a sense.
Wow. One of the captures that you have is something that still astounds me. I have a bird feeder outside of my large picture window, and we get hummingbirds coming by, and they just fascinate the hell out of me. But the wings move so fast, it's like they're invisible. Is that pretty much what we're talking about?
Yeah. I spent many years working with hummingbird scientists to capture their movements, and that's really what I love about photography, is that the images I can capture can hopefully inspire you to look more closely at that hummingbird at your feeder next time, and you can actually see some of its feather structure and things that I've revealed in my photograph in real life if you know where to look. And I think they're one of the most amazing creatures out there, for sure.
Yeah, it's a great example of things that you can't see really with the naked eye. When you gaze at something, you cannot see this actually occurring until it's frozen in time, and there it is. My goodness, I've been looking at it all the time, and I never saw this before. That's fascinating to me.
It's really fascinating, and I kind of got my start fascinated with nature and wanting to become a scientist, and just found that photography was this avenue to learn about the world and get to share my discoveries with others.
It's amazing how photographs can tell a story without muttering a word. That's also fascinating to me. It's like the primary communication tool between our brains and our eyes, and it is fascinating in that sense. Picture books, National Geographic, for example, that draws a lot of people in that otherwise wouldn't have broached the subject at all. And this is just a wonderful tool to get people interested in things.
That's exactly why I became a photographer. I think its power to inspire people's curiosity, get them to think twice about the world around them, hummingbirds are a good example. That's a subject that everyone tends to love, but I think photographs are equally powerful for those weird, gross bugs that people want nothing to do with, and a photograph can inspire them to think twice about those sticky, weird things that you know people don't naturally fall in love with.
Wow. I assume, without knowing you or where you live, that you probably have 75,000 acres of photographs.
Yeah, I wish.
You wish. Well, maybe you don't need 75,000 acres, but you must have an incredible collection.
I've taken quite a few over the years.
You're a little modest.
For example, for every photograph of mine in this book, it took somewhere between 3,000 to 5,000 photographs to get one that was worth publishing.
Wow. How long have you been doing this?
I first started as a photo assistant to another National Geographic photographer back in 2006. And then I got my first assignment with National Geographic magazine in 2011. So, something around 10 to 15 years.
Wow. Another example of how this book is incredible, and your prior works too, you did a thing called Mindsuckers. And again, it's all the things that are there that we can't see, but they're like, really there, and that indeed was fascinating as well. There's an entire world that we know it's there, but this blows my mind. I can't even put it into words.
That's a good way of putting it. It's still my favorite project in some ways, just because of how incredibly bizarre and surprising those stories are. That's a story about parasites that can control the minds of their hosts. And even as someone who studied science and studied biology, I was blown away by, wasps that can control the minds and caterpillars and spiders and make them do things. And so that's a special project for me, just for how wild those creatures are.
Wow. Talk about parasites, you could be doing a political book, but that's probably not what this is about. Okay. All right. The book's been released?
It came out on Tuesday, that's right.
Oh, congratulations. And as I ask everybody that gets involved in these things, you must be working on something else. Can you give me a little insight?
Yeah, so the last 10 years I spent on the road for National Geographic, and I'm changing gears, and I've started a space in Berkeley, California, where I live, called Wonderlab, and that's a place where I can take pictures, but I can also collaborate with scientists and also teach others what I'm doing. So I'm able to host high school classrooms and workshops for young photographers, and so it's sort of a hybrid biology lab, photography studio, and classroom all rolled into one.
Very cool. Are you designing this yourself?
I designed it myself. We just launched this week, and we have cuttlefish. These are kind of relatives of octopus that we're photographing now.
Wow.
And that'll be our next project.
So cool. Wow. Well, he's Anand Yama, and the book is called Invisible Wonders, Photographs of the Hidden World. With the holiday season coming up, and you're probably thinking, well, I don't know what to get anybody here, or especially my children are getting fascinated in things. Well, you've just answered the question. This is a great introduction, and when a parent goes through one of these books with their kids or with a friend or with a spouse, you're opening up a communication, and you're both sitting there in wonderment, and that's a connection. So, good book, Invisible Wonders, Photographs of the Hidden World. Is there a website we can visit?
For this book, you can find it on Amazon, and I think if you just Google Invisible Wonders, it'll show up right up there.
You bet. That's what happens these days. They just show up. It's been a pleasure speaking to you. Thanks for doing what you do. It's fascinating to all of us. You take care of yourself. Well, that'll do it for me today. I'll be back again rather soon. The next time a weekday rolls around, I'll do this again. We are celebrating very quickly our milestone here. I've been doing radio for 30 years, a tad longer than 30 years, doing three-hour morning shows for a couple of decades, and then also added the podcasting and syndicated radio stations to our enterprise here. We are, since we started doing the internet thing, we are up to now 2,500 episodes. Ooh, Ron! 2,500 episodes, ladies and gentlemen, all available for you to listen to. I would listen to the more recent ones because that makes more sense. But in any event, that's the milestone that we hit recently. So there you have it. And when you put together all the television shows that I did and 850 of those episodes and about 5,000 broadcast morning radio shows and another 2,500 of these internet things, you know, and syndicated things. Yeah, man, that's a lot. So I just thought I'd throw that out. If you could please, if you're listening on the social media platform thing, just do the like button again. My social media manager is hounding me like she's won't leave me alone. Tell them, Ron, constantly tell them to hit that like button. That's what you're supposed to do. All right. I don't understand what you just said, but fine. And there might be a button to subscribe to me, in which case I guess I send you a magazine like a Newsweek. I don't know. I don't understand that part. But anyway, just do what you want. Have yourselves a wonderful day. I wish you peace.